One way or another, we're going to wrap up the Bluetooth in 20 minutes. So I think it will be going fairly quickly through a few of these slides. Again, what's interesting about Bluetooth is, well, we've seen this example of Wi-Fi 802.11, and this which had a very specific purpose, that of implementing a LAN using radio technology that would slot neatly into the sort of IP internet world. Okay. So, again, if you contrast the cellular network, original intention anyway was to slot into the telephony world. Now 802.11 slot into, use radio technology to slot into the IP world. Bluetooth is again quite interesting because, again, it's quite ubiquitous. It's used for a number of things, hands-free sets, exchanging data between laptops. What is of interest is that it is designed for these sort of very sort of a limited number, but a fairly diverse end applications. Okay. So its goal is not to deliver packets, it's not to deliver a voice stream, to deliver whatever you need to get sort of very, very specific things done. Okay. And so what I'd like to do, I suspect at this point we'll be skipping a lot of the details, but just to see, again, how that's arranged. Again, it's another 802, it's sort of corresponds to another 802 standard, and what we'll see is that there's a layered architecture to deal with the various concerns, but it's a lot more sort of piecemeal than some of the other standards. Okay, so as references, Stallings says sort of enough to be getting by with. The Palo Wireless tutorial is also quite good for just a basic overview of how Bluetooth works. Okay. So, as an overview, the goal is to provide a universal short-range wireless capability. And again, what exactly is meant by universal is up for grabs here, since a lot of the stuff will not be terribly universal. And you go all the way up to almost an application type layer. Okay, again, it uses this unlicensed spectrum. And the goal is to allow devices at a very short range to exchange what at this point is a not terribly impressive amount of data. Okay. And so it's designed to support a number of applications in the voice, data, voice and data in video range. It arose from industry. It was originally proposed by Ericsson. It later became standardized by IEEE, but it has since actually diverged from that standard. Okay. And the main thing you can say about Bluetooth is that it's really, really useful. Okay. Now, there are three basic application areas envisaged for Bluetooth, a data and voice access points. So to allow voice and data transmission by wirelessly connecting portable and stationary devices. So if you have a number of devices, they might all, you might want to connect them to access points against to a network. Cable replacement, again, just try and get rid of the wires. And finally, ad hoc networking, so allowing multiple devices to interact with one another. Okay. So within that, what we do is what gets done is you define usage scenarios, and again, telephony, internet, wire replacement. Just the core, wire replacement. So you define these usage scenarios, and then you see what needs to be done to deliver on these scenarios. Okay. And so what we'll see is that we have core specifications. So Bluetooth defines a layered protocol architecture. And then we have profile specifications. And what these profile specifications do is they, again, try and implement some of these use cases using not all of the specification, but some sort of subset of the specification. Okay. So the profile specification is going to discuss what is the use of the core technology to implement a particular usage model. Okay. So what is, and typically what it does is indicate what aspects of the core specification are mandatory, optional, or not applicable. Okay, so this is the overall Bluetooth protocol architecture, and so what should look a bit reassuring is that it's this nice, it's a layered architecture, and what we see here is that we've got five protocols, the ones indicated in gray, from the SDP to the L2CAP, LMP, baseband, and Bluetooth, that are unique to Bluetooth. Okay. Then we have a number of protocols that are borrowed from other areas, but again can be used to achieve the goals of Bluetooth. So as an example, RFCOM, it's not specified with Bluetooth, it's just adopted, and it's used for cable replacement, so essentially it provides a port. And then you can build a number of things on top of this. So you can build a sort of internet access on top of that. You can build this is object exchange, so you can build some sort of primitive data transfer on top of that. AT is a modem. You can build sort of modem access on top of that. Okay, so that enables you to do data functions, PCS bin allows you to do telephony functions. Okay. So, again, we have a sort of the commonality of Bluetooth. So we have our service discovery protocol, so that allows sort of various Bluetooth devices to just sort of exchange information about whether they're compatible or not. And then, again, we have a protocol stack, which is essentially with the goal of making point-to-point transmission of data. Okay. And so now if you think about, again, having various uses you want for this, for instance, if you might want to use telephony, well, if you want to use telephony, you can. If you want a telephony function, you can just ignore portions of this. You can ignore the portions that are not relevant. Okay. So. The core protocols for Bluetooth are the radio layer, so that again specifies how you transmit your bits. Baseband, which is going to be concerned with connection establishment. Link management, concerned with authentication and encryption. And you'll see that that's not even always necessary. And then the logic link control adaptation protocol. Okay. And so, again, the idea here is that we have these number of end applications, all of which have their own protocol sets. And the logic link control and adaptation protocol is going to be responsible for interfacing with the various different higher layer protocols and giving them what they want. And that boils down to having to provide sort of different types of channels or links to different upper layers. Okay. And finally, as I said before, the service discovery protocol, which allows Bluetooth devices to negotiate services. Okay, and we've already gone through, so just on top of that, then we have protocols that deal with sort of specific applications, area cable replacement, telephony, internet access. Okay. So, you're always going to need your baseband and radio layers. Obviously, that's physically how you're transmitting the data. So what the usage model then is going to do is it's going to define, beyond that, what set of protocols do you need for a particular application. Okay. And so beyond that, a Bluetooth profile defines the protocols and features supporting a particular usage model. Okay, so it sort of parameterizes that. And we can see that here we have a few different examples. If we want to do file transfer, we're going to use the object exchange and so whatever application you want to build on top of that.
if he wants sort of a land access, if he wants to do his land protocols. You can do it with headsets, all such. That's
mainly cable replacement and some sort of access commands.
Okay. If you're doing like a telephone, then again, you need your telephony commands.
So whatever you're doing, you need sort of some subset of the whole Bluetooth stack, sort of which is specific to the protocol, or sorry, the end application that you're aiming for. Okay. And so, again, we saw on the previous page that you need different protocols depending. Okay. So, again, what Bluetooth is trying to do is provide sort of a very flexible communications framework by which you can interact with various different high-level protocols, which you know, themselves have different sort of requirements and characteristics. Okay. So, Bluetooth has its own sort of architecture, you know, sort of network architecture in terms of connectivity, and the basic unit of Bluetooth networking is what's called a PicoNet. And a PicoNet has one master or controller and 1 to 7 slave devices. Okay. And you can attach an additional 255 devices to the master as long as they're sort of not active. Okay. So it allows for a number of connections, a large number of connections, only some of which can be active at a given time. Okay. The master controls the channel and the phase of transmission, so the master sets all the physical parameters. That network configuration can be extended to what's called a scatternet, in which you can have more than one PicoNet, where the master of one PicoNet becomes a slave in another PicoNet. Okay, and that's and the goal of that is, again, then you can control all your channel transmissions, and you can have sort of more devices within a given area. Okay. So, again, the contrast within your cellular system, everything is controlled by the base station. Ad hoc systems, well, nobody's really in charge. And then with the scatter nets, you would have connectivity through the master and slave relationship. Okay. So, what follows here is sort of a short overview of the core protocols, not the service discovery, but the ones that are sort of more enabling communications. And what I'm going to do is, I'll just say now that they're not, the details of these protocols is not examinable. I don't feel that they're being shortchanged here in terms of me telling you what's on the exam, but I think I'm going to refer you, in particular the Palo wireless tutorial has a nice discussion of the characteristics of these various layers. Okay. And so what I'm going to do is skip through these sections. And I may see if there's any highlights, but I don't think so. So, again, the master is going to seek to set up channels, and so frequency hopping is done on a sort of message-by-message basis, and and the communication occurs through alternating time slots. So the master will transmit, then the slave will transmit, then the master will transmit. Okay. And then sort of the basic, you know, again, you'll have basic error correction and everything you would expect in a link control protocol. One thing I will draw your attention to is the use of channels. So again, we'll see this again with the cellular systems, but the same physical transmission is being used for a number of purposes. And so the purpose to which a transmission is being used is categorized as a logical channel. So, and depending on purpose, potentially you're transmitting, sort of the configuration of what you're transmitting can change. Okay. And in the case of Bluetooth, this is again being done to accommodate the various different applications from telephony to data transfer. Okay. Okay. And I'll also just draw your attention to the fact that there is some attempts to provide quality of service for Bluetooth in terms of trying to regulate the data transmission. But again, since the master can control a lot more, then this can be refined from application to application. Okay. So apologies for that, but again, I think it's better to sort of draw a line under this today. Bluetooth is interesting. The Palo wireless, if you're interested in the details of sort of the implementations of the layer, the Palo wireless tutorial is quite nice. You won't be examined on them, so I'm not running off and not saying something that I'll later ask you about on the exam. But, and again, the 802.15 standard initially was based on Bluetooth. It's diverged and it refers now to wireless personal area networks. So with similar ideas, one standard emerging in this area is Zigbee as well. So again, it's a slightly different than Bluetooth. But again, the idea with all of these is to have sort of short distance data communication. Okay, so again, apologies for rushing through that, but again, we have to move on. I will not be giving the lecture for the next four sessions. It'll be Hrishikesh, And he will start out with some aspects of GSM and then talk also a bit about ad hoc networking. So I'll see you guys in a while. If you have any questions about anything, just send me email.